You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come to give us good news that we can share. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever gotten an invitation and on the invitation there was a little blank and maybe it said kind of plus one or it said, gave you a room for another guest? If you've ever gotten that, it's kind of a interesting feeling. When I get those, I kind of assume that it's going to be Liz. There's also kind of that question of, okay, well, if Liz isn't available, who works? Who would like to go to this event with me? Who would be somebody that I could bring along? And we have plenty of those moments in our lives where there's something that we want to go to. Maybe it's a concert. Maybe it's going to a really great restaurant. Maybe it's something else. But it's something that we really want to go to. And we're kind of thinking, okay, like, who do I want to sit next to me? Who do I want with me at the game? Do I want somebody who is going to be cheering for the same team that I am? Or do I want somebody who's going to be cheering for the rival team? Do I want somebody who is going to be enjoying this as much as I am? Or am I going to be opening them up to a whole new world of this thing that I enjoy? All of those questions come up as we start to think about who we sort of co-invite to things. And that's a little piece of what I think we get to think about today as we're looking at these readings. As we're looking at these readings that start off with this interesting reading from Isaiah. Now, in order to really understand what's going into this reading in Isaiah, you have to sort of know some of the history. You have to know why it is such good news that there is light dawning in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And the reason for that is that this was the place that was initially sort of destroyed by the Assyrian army. So way back when Israel had kings and those kings were going astray, God was warning them time and time again, hey, if you continue to do this, I'm going to send another nation in and they're going to come and they're going to take you over. And so they had these warnings and warnings and warnings. And then finally God says, that's it. I'm going to send in the Assyrians. And the Assyrians come in. And the very first place that they hit because of where Zebulun and Naphtali are is these territories. These territories that later get called Galilee of the Gentiles. These places that are just sort of on the edge, on the border of what it is to be Israel. This is the front lines. This is the place that gets demolished, it gets destroyed. It's the first place where there are ruins from this battle. And so it is into that worn, torn image that light is dawning, that there's good news being brought about. And the interesting thing about it is that as you're reading what Isaiah has to write, that it's not just good news for the people of Zebulun and Naphtali, but it's good news for the nations. It's good news for the people that are outside of Israel. What Isaiah is writing is that this is a good news that is being brought not only to the people of Israel, but being brought through the people of Israel out to all of the nations that are around them. And that's kind of an interesting thing because, well, the people are maybe expecting this to be, well, it's good news for me. I want good news for me. But here in the text, this is good news for others. This is good news for people that aren't a part of God's chosen people. These are people that don't speak Hebrew. These are people that don't know the stories of Moses and of Jacob. These are people that are the Gentiles. And it's kind of interesting to think that here there's a light dawning that is good news for people that are not initially invited. That Israel sort of gets that plus one experience. They get that experience of being able to say, we've been blessed by God. We are his people. We have his scriptures. We have all of that. But now we get to expand that out. Not just keep it within our borders, but actually to let it go. And to let it permeate the darkness that's around. And so as you think through what that Isaiah reading was about in its context, that maybe gives you a little bit more understanding when we get into the gospel reading. And Jesus's arrival on the scene is compared by Matthew to that moment. That what is happening with Jesus is similar to what happens when the land of Zebulun and Naphtali are healed, where they're cleaned up, where they're brought back to life. And when Jesus comes into the scene where he says, okay, I'm going to take up residence in this same very spot, that's what he's doing. He's a shining light amongst the people. And the people are not just the people of Israel, but they're the people that are in the radius of where he is. I mean, after all, I tried to bring it out in the way that I read the gospel text. You see in that gospel text that there are these words that come up often in that text, words like all and every, that it's kind of bringing this meaning that everybody in that region understands who Jesus is. Everybody is being healed by Jesus. Everybody is having their problems fixed by Jesus. And it's this great moment, this moment where everybody is invited into the feast. Everybody is invited to know the healing. Everybody is invited to know the beauty. And yet, sometimes we tend to just leave that blank. Sometimes when we're invited to something, we go, I think it's just going to be me. For whatever reason. Maybe you don't know who to invite, and so you just think it's easier not to invite anybody. Maybe you go, well, this is a really nerdy thing, and I don't know that anybody would want to go to this with me, and so I'm just going to leave that blank rather than tell the people around me that I'm that kind of a nerd. Maybe it's another reason that we do that. In fact, I think Paul starts talking about one of those reasons in his letter to the Corinthians. This is early on in his letter to the Corinthians, and he's saying, look, the first problem that we have to address, of many, but the first problem that we have to address is that you guys are separating into factions. One of you is saying that you're a part of Paul. One of you is saying that you're a part of Apollos. Yeah, there's all of this sort of fracturing. And Paul does this kind of amazing thing where he sort of acts like this bumbling old man where he's like, yeah, I remember I baptized this guy and this guy, but did I baptize anybody else? I don't know. Because Paul is saying that's not what's important. And yet we sometimes make little divisions really important, and we fracture and we close off borders. And we say the light isn't going to reach into that place. It's not going to reach into that person. Sometimes we can have that kind of in our head that there's just some people that, well, they wouldn't get this. Or maybe I don't even want them to have this. There's these moments in our lives where the light doesn't shine through us into the dark places around us because we're actively creating shadows that say the light isn't going to go there. We think we know better than God. We think that there's people that don't agree with our politics, that the light can't shine on them. There's people that we believe that are a part of a different tradition in Christianity that we think the light can't shine on them. There are people that disagree with us on all sorts of things that we say the light can't shine on them. And yet God says, no, it's all, it's every, the light is the light, it shines. That's what it does. And Jesus shows us that in the gospel reading when he goes to people that nobody would think make sense as disciples. Jesus goes and he picks up the trash. Yeah, you can picture Jesus with one of those sticks that goes kind of clickety-click. And that's what he's using when he's picking up people like Peter and Andrew and James and John. These are not people that anybody would go, hey, you know what? In terms of junior rabbis, these are the guys that I would pick. No, they're fishermen. They probably don't have sanctified language. They're probably from the wrong side of the tracks, literally, because they're fishing on the Sea of Galilee, which is on that sort of border town in between what is Jewishness and what is Gentileness. There's all sorts of reasons that Jesus should not call them. There's all sorts of reasons that Jesus should not heal the people that he heals in that gospel reading, because when he starts naming the places there, some of those places are places that are predominantly Gentile. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to just shine on one set of people. He came to shine on the entire radius. He came to be the light that he is to the entire world. And you are his body. If you have been baptized, if you are a person who says that I am a part of Jesus Christ, then you're a part of his body. And being a part of his body means that you're a part of his light. You're a part of what gets to shine out. Now, you don't shine like Jesus. Your radius is not as big. And thank goodness for that, because if it was, then you would have to shine to all and to every. Your radius is narrower. Your radius is not to all and to every, it's to the people that God has put around you. Your radius is to the people that are in your classes, the people that are in your work, the people that are in your families, the people that are around you, that person who works at the convenience store that you see every time, that person that you check out with at Publix, the person that is there in a way that you go, I really try to ignore the fact that God has put this person in my life so that I can shine. This Epiphany, we're talking about those people in three different kinds of segments. The people that are sort of the unresponsive people, the people that are the curious people, and the people that are seeking in our lives. And I don't know who those people are in your life. But I think that once you start to think about those categories, once you start to think about who those people might be, you start to have a notion of who needs some light. And that light doesn't mean that you are handing them testaments. You know about testaments? Testaments are these, they're sort of like those candy hearts that you get at Valentine's Day, but they come with little Bible verses on them. Don't do that. That's silly. Give those to other Christian friends, sure, maybe. But what we're called to do is to be light, to be gracious, to be compassionate, to shine like Jesus shone, to shine like he shines in his church. So that as we go out, we're not people that are casting shadows. We're not people that are saying the light isn't going to reach over here. But we're people that let God's light shine where it needs to, which is all around us. And sometimes that might mean that we have to figure out what shining even looks like. But sometimes that means that we need to take our hand away from the light so that it can shine on others. Because the beauty is that the light has shone on you. The light has dawned in your life. Jesus Christ has come to you. That light that he has shone through the people that you have known. Maybe through your parents who brought you to the waters of holy baptism. Maybe to your friends that said, hey, we can go to worship together. Maybe it's that light that has shone in terms of somebody that you've read or some other thing that has brought you into relationship with Jesus. As you think about it, there are all sorts of lights that have shined on you. People that are Christian that God has used in order to bring you into his kingdom. And so thank God for those lights. Thank God that they shone on you. And where it's possible, shine on others. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.